News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Ambush on first responders. Two Idaho firefighters killed. The gunman also dead. Police say he set a brush fire on a mountainside near Coeur d'Alene, then opened fire on first responders who showed up to try to put it out. A tactical response team used cell phone data to hone in on an area where they found the suspect's body with a rifle nearby. The Senate is set to vote today on President Trump's budget bill. Two Republican senators voting no in preliminary votes, including North Carolina's Tom Tillis.
Tillis says that he's voting against the bill because he doesn't like the changes that it makes to Medicaid and that it would negatively affect Medicaid recipients in his state. That's been his primary reason.
ABC's Ali Pekoran. President Trump threatening Tillis with a primary challenge if he voted against it, which he did. Tillis then announcing he will not be running again. Hours after New York City's Pride Parade, a shooting near the historic Stonewall Inn left two teenagers hurt. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has announced another year of decreased tobacco and vape sales to underage customers. According to a DHS report, the rate of tobacco and vape sales to underage customers dropped nearly 2% from 2023 to 24. Agency officials say the jump in underage tobacco and vape sales aligned with raising the federal legal tobacco sales age from 18 to 21 in 2019. Prior to the change, the underage sales rate was about 5.5% and jumped to over 14% in 2021. A pair of bills aimed at increasing the amount of nuclear energy production in Wisconsin have passed in the state legislature. One of the bills directs the state to conduct a nuclear siting study in an effort to identify potential locations for nuclear power generation. The Wisconsin Public Service Commission has estimated the study will require at least $1 million of funding to complete. The other bill would establish a temporary board to plan and hold a nuclear power summit in Madison. Both bills now head to Governor Tony Evers for consideration. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is offering free RFID identification tags for cattle and bison this summer. According to a press release, the DATCAP has a limited supply of the RFID tags and expects them to be available until around late September. The tags were supplied by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. They can be ordered in multiples of 1,000, and there is a 5,000 tag limit. The agency is also offering separate orange button tags for veterinarians for identification when vaccinating against brucellosis.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
A new contract for Bobby Portis. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks reached a deal over the weekend for 30-year-old Bobby Portis to remain in Milwaukee. It's a three-year contract worth $44 million. They've also made an offer to 23-year-old guard Ryan Rollins to stay with the team. Baseball, a travel day for the Brewers. They play the Mets tomorrow night. The Crew losing 4-3 in extra innings after Trevor Megill gave up a game-tying home run to former Brewer Orlando Arcia in the ninth.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, everybody's a big leaguer for a reason, and, you know, their season's obviously not going the way they want it to, but, you know, they still got 19 wins on the board, and one of them was today, so it is what it is, and, you know, fix it and move forward.
The Rockies' Kyle Farmer.
Our record isn't very good, obviously. We're just taking day by day, and for us to come back and keep fighting is a positive. We just got to keep doing that and take the positives out of a win and just kind of slowly get back to it.
That's Rockies infielder Kyle Farmer with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
A mix of clouds and sunshine with an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible this afternoon. Our high today, right around 80. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop to the low 60s. Tomorrow, a whole lot of sunshine with a high right around 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Matt Nair on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, do we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk Action Wisconsin and film incentives with Jeffrey Kurz and Nathan Deming. And Kurt Newman of the legendary Bodines joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Joined as well by Parker Olson in Madison Studio A2 and Up North News reporter Selena Heller, who joins us from Eau Claire. Welcome back. It's nice to have you here up north on this Monday morning, June 30th already. Still to come, Selena's going to tell us more about the Chippewa Valley Air Show and talking with the Blue Angels. And then at 7:30, we will be talking to one of my colleagues from Courier Newsroom in North Carolina about the Trump big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill and how North Carolina's Republican senator voted no on a part of it over the weekend and then promptly announced he was not running for re-election, a real profile in courage. And then in our next hour, we'll talk to Jeff Mandel from Law Forward on the lawsuit against Elon Musk to try to prevent more billionaire bribery during Wisconsin's Supreme Court elections. Brittany is off today, and so as I look just to see if I can share anything remotely weather-related with you, because we did get a lot of rain for those few days there. Now we've got a dry period coming up. It's still going to be warm throughout the course of the week, and so keep it tuned to your local Civic Media radio station throughout the course of the day for updates on the forecasts. Let's see. Rob from Tigerton should be here somewhere. There he is. Good morning. It's cloudy, light fog, 66 degrees. Tigerton got only 12/100ths of an inch of rain, but 20 miles down the road in Clintonville, they had 2.6 inches, which, yeah, makes sense. He says there was major flooding in the Clintonville area, including flooding along Highway 45. Lots of water there along the lake. He took some pictures of the flooding after the rains ended in Clintonville, and he said just 5 miles from his house, northern Waupaca County had 60-mile-an-hour winds. And I know at one point there was like an 82-mile-an-hour wind gust near Milwaukee yesterday as this front went through. So hopefully folks didn't get too much damage. But as I noted last hour, even here in the Chippewa Valley, the Chippewa River is running really high, really fast. Several rescues were needed yesterday from chuckleheads who thought, oh, let's go tube down this thing, something Selena Heller would never do, but would join us now from Eau Claire. You were at the airport instead for the Chippewa Valley Air Show, which is always fun. I always can hear it from way up here in Chippewa Falls. I mean, it gets really, really good and loud. But again, a healthy crowd on hand. And how many of these have you worked at?
Everybody was asking me that over the weekend, so I had to kind of figure it out. I think what started it all is I first went up in Fat Albert, the C-130 of the Blue Angels in 2010. And then after that, they asked me to be part of the committee. And so that puts this whole thing together. And so ever since that, I've been part of this.
15 years. Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So however many air shows we've had since then, but I threw up in a Fat Albert, so I didn't know.
And yet you came back for more.
Yeah. And the neat thing about it is every air show, I kind of have had the opportunity to do something fun. Like one year I was in, it was before the show, and they're like, there's a Jelly Belly team. Like, he does tricks in the sky with his airplane. He's just retired a year or two ago. I don't know. And then there's a truck that he lands on that speeds down the runway. And they're like, can you help us? And so, and I've known these guys for years, but I thought, I don't think I'm qualified for anything, but I got in the truck and they're like, you're going to help land him on the truck. And it was like, I really don't think that. So my job was to tell him that abort, we were too far at the end of the runway and we had to do that.
So
his, part of the show.
His safety depended on you doing something for the first time that you'd never done before.
Yes,
what could possibly go wrong?
That was a great idea.
but that one worked. So at what future air show did he crash and die? Because it had to have happened then by now, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, maybe not. But.
Well, he's retired safely. He's on the ground.
Okay. All right. Well, that's
but
good.
But I did have to, and part of the show is that the funny part is like, oh, he tries and he doesn't land on the truck. And that's, oh no, that's part of the show. But also I did have to say, abort, abort, because we got to the end of the runway and he wasn't on the top. And I thought, oh my heavens, this is not something that I should be doing.
Oh, Alicia writes on YouTube, Selena, I am so jealous. She said the first time I saw the Blue Angels in person was 2002 when I was in Pensacola for A school and they would practice daily. And that's the thing. These, you know, we're talking just now about the Blue Angels. Definitely a precision team, to put it mildly. And so you got a chance to talk with them, and let's have some of the audio. Tell us about some of the folks that you talk to.
So for
all right, well,
what's that, Parker?
The first part,
Parker, I thought you were going to say something there.
No.
Okay. My apologies. Okay. I heard something. So go ahead, Selena.
So last week, before the Days of the Air show, when they were first getting into town, I got to talk with several of the just the different teams that came into town for the show. So the first one is commanding officer Adam Bryan, and he is one of the pilots of the Blue Angels, and so which we know represents the U.S. Navy and the Marine Corps, and of course showcase their precision and the power of aviation. So they are a team of over more than 100 members, and so they come in and, you know, set up. It's very regimented. They have the whole thing, and we have to follow all of these rules. It's very specific. But he talks about, you know, you see them up in the air, and how does that translate to what we see down on the ground, where they're flying 18 inches apart, yikes, 400 miles an hour. 400 miles an hour. So this is Adam Bryan talking about some of that precision.
So for our signature diamond formation that you'll see this weekend at the air show, we are upwards of 12 to 18 inches apart at any given time when we're flying. It's extraordinarily close for our flight demonstration team, but it takes a tremendous amount of trust and work between us flying. And then we get into the Delta formation, or all six aircraft. We're going to be a little bit farther away than that, but still fairly close to one another.
What's the chatter like on the headset?
I speak for about 45 minutes straight. The pilots listen to me, and they listen to the cadence that I provide them with my voice inflection, the volume that I like to use. So I speak a lot, and then everybody else has little parts where they need to speak. Everything that we do is based on exacting procedures, and we know when any given person, to include myself, is having an off day, we can actually hear it in their voice when they're talking.
Yeah, you don't want the off day.
Can you imagine the off day?
No, because I saw them flying in the diamond formation at one point as we were, you know, driving around over the weekend there. And yeah, they're moving at hundreds of miles an hour, 12 inches apart, just so precise, which again tells you that this has to be a very precision aircraft that they are operating, you know, where there's no wiggle room. Who do we hear from next?
Petty Officer Taylor Miller. There's a lot of people that we got to have in our air show here in Eau Claire that are from Wisconsin. So this was their hometown show, they called it, because their friends and family could come and we have a space for them to come and watch. So Taylor Miller is part of the Blue Angel team on the ground. He does video, watches the weather, things like that. And he is from Appleton.
So this is actually really great for me. So 27 years ago, my parents brought me to my first Blue Angel air show, and that was right here in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. So coming back here 27 years later is absolutely surreal. I still have pictures from that day. So I'm actually flying tomorrow in the Fourjet and doing my backseat ride. So that will be exhilarating.
That's a good way to put it. Exhilarating.
Exhilarating.
All right. What else we got?
So we have had all sorts of teams come into town and provide entertainment for the crowd. So another one is the U.S. Air Force F-16 Viper demonstration team based at Shaw Air Force Base in South Carolina. And the head of that team is a female. So I wanted to talk with her, and she has a 9-person team, and they're all men. But I asked her what it was like to be a role model, and this is Master Sergeant Deandra Baker.
It's something I have definitely taken for granted, being a female, until we go to the shows and the little girls want to take pictures with you, or we're at another show and you hear girl power and all the females come up to you and just want to take pictures. So you definitely forget that you're a role model until that moment, and it makes me proud, you know, to be able to influence more females to come into a very male-dominated industry.
That's awesome. Again, the whole mm-hmm. role model thing is so nice. But then again, so are you.
Thanks. Yeah. They all told me, you know, one of their favorite parts is just interacting and talking to the kids and getting to see and talk to the kids. And so that's one of their favorite things.
All right. We got one more visit. Who are we talking to?
So this is Major Taylor Heaster. He's the commander and pilot of that F-16 demo team. So they secretly did a paint job on one of their jets because it's the anniversary. And so they painted it red, white, and blue, and it's very noticeable. It's pretty unique. And he talks about that, Taylor Heaster.
What service means to me, I mean, obviously we have a unique role of serving in a very elite team, representing the several hundred thousand American military members that are stationed around the world. So service is near and dear to our heart. We are at the core of this, just ordinary active duty American airmen that have the unique opportunity to serve here and provide a combat capabilities demo to the world.
Also, the unique paint job behind you.
Yeah, so the airplane that you see behind me is the 1974 YF-16 paint scheme. Last year was the 50th anniversary of the F-16, and this year turns 51, and we're on our second year of a 2-year celebration of the 50th anniversary of the airplane.
Have you been to Wisconsin before?
I have. I had a chance to fly at Oshkosh last year, and that was obviously a dream come true as a little kid that wanted to grow up and do air shows. So to be back in Wisconsin, the hospitality is unmatched. It seems in the Midwest entirely. We always have wonderful luck out here, and I think the military and patriotism, obviously the roots run very deep here in the Midwest, and we're grateful to be here.
It always strikes me as an audience that is very grateful for their service. They know they're not just there for entertainment. These are men and women serving our country.
Yes, and that's their first and foremost thought, but also, you know, that recruitment aspect of it when people see all of this happening and like you heard, this is their dream. This is their dream come true to get to be able to fly all of these things and be part of these things. And they're grateful to be in Eau Claire, like Taylor said. And so my job was hospitality. That was my area to kind of have them all come and give them a place to talk and hang out and eat and just kind of hang out every night. And so it was just fun to do all of that.
Sounds like a real hardship, Selena. I don't know how you did it.
Not a bad gig.
other than, you know, complete and total lack of sleep. But, you know, you'll catch up
later.
Yes,
a couple hours. Good. For 4 days.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing all that. It sounds so exhilarating and nice of you to get up early and recap it all for us. And, you know, I think you'll be a part of it the next time they're in town, too.
I think so. Hopefully.
I think so. And they did a nice flyby of Lambeau Field. The Blue Angels did afterwards. Saw that all over social media and Wausau. Some folks got to see them as well. All right, Selena, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, you too.
And or a good night. You know, get some sleep, as the case may be. Yeah, exactly. A local update is coming up next for some of you. And when we're all back together in 15 minutes, Michael McElroy from our North Carolina Courier Newsroom outlet talks about a Republican senator there voting no on Trump's big bloated boondoggle and then announcing he won't run for re-election, putting an open seat into play for Democrats to possibly take back the Senate. That is coming up from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE. The Todd Albaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the university system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers. Through CPR education and access to AEDs, nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
It's our day to talk about Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination. From Grace, we have Alan Kaczubski, we have Eileen Stevens, and June Nee. And to talk about some of the current events with Grace, and it's getting right down there. Alan, let's first of all talk about the race for Grace. From an outsider, it looked like it was a success. What did you think?
Good morning, Phil. You know, I'm glad, happy to talk about the race. You know, I got last month off. I went fishing. It was great. It was a great vacation after the race. But the race, I thought it went great. Overall, we had great participation. The weather kind of cooperated. If you were a runner, you loved the temperature. If you're a spectator, you're like, wind, please stop blowing.
Yes, it was. It's been windy. It was windy all spring. So
yeah, it was.
We definitely were used to it. Right.
You know, I remember one of our early planning meetings, and we're like, you know, all these what-if scenarios, right? What if it's raining? What if it's storming? What if it's cold, right? We should have hot chocolate. You know, it was a great idea. We thought about, you know, last fall, right? So what happens, you know, it. We're looking at the weather, like, yeah, it looks pretty good. Then it gets cold, and we forgot all about the hot chocolate.
Well, mark it for next year, I guess. Yep. How about participation?
Our numbers were really good. So this year we had a total of 232 participants that were registered for the different events. That was 14 for the kids' run, 34 people doing the 1 mile, 111 doing the 5K, and 24 doing the 10K. And then for that 1 mile, our firefighters challenge, we had 49 people registered for that and 10 different teams, which was awesome. So it was so exciting to grow that one. And all of our numbers grew because last year we had, I think, 203 people that were registered overall. So we grew a little bit. But our firefighter challenge really grew, and having more teams was so exciting, especially having the Richland Center Police Department having a team and the Richland County Sheriff's Department having a team. I thought that was a really cool addition.
Very inspiring to watch them finish, wasn't it?
It was. And you know, last year they decided they all wanted to finish together and cross the finish line at the same time. This year they're like, heck no, we're going to be competitive. And I love that part of it. And to see them cross the lines at different times, and, you know, especially that first team, you know, I think what gave them the edge was their Dalmatian dog that they had with them.
Probably.
You know, but to come all the way from Hixton, too, and to, you know, take first place, that was special to see.
I thought of that because when we went to Blair Taylor a couple of weeks ago to cover baseball, I figured out where Hixton was. They come from quite a journey, don't they?
It is a long ways, yeah. It's like over by Black River Falls.
Right.
It's quite the hike.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yep. So I'm guessing that's the second one down. I'm guessing you're optimistic that you're going to keep doing this then.
Absolutely. We're definitely doing it again. We've already, you know, loosely talked about, you know, when and what and that type of stuff, but we'll definitely do it again. We're talking about potentially picking a different weekend. So we're not sure about that yet, but we'll start up again later this fall and start the planning again and get the word out for everyone.
Well, it was a good fundraiser. That's the main goal too, right?
So that's a great question. And no, that wasn't the main goal. That was more of a side effect than a goal. The main goal, you know, what I wanted to do was get more prevention focused and cancer prevention. And what we did there is we wanted to get people active. And you're going to hear that a lot more on our morning shows for Grace as well, especially when, you know, I was just talking earlier this week with Leif, our prevention chair, and there's some exciting stuff coming our way for Grace and for everyone in the area. But it was about getting people to get motivated, to get moving. And the fact that we did raise some money. So, you know, we're always looking to raise funds. You know, I won't kid you, Phil. We're always looking for more money, and we never want to have, you know, like a negative balance on any event that we do. But the race did. I don't have our final numbers in yet because I'm still waiting to hear on a grant because that big timing system that we purchased and the start finish line system that we purchased, we're still waiting on final numbers, but we're going to be close to about a $5,000 profit, which is really exciting, I think. Mm-hmm. But to me, the bigger benefit was to have over 200 people come out on that morning and get active. And I know people were not just active that morning. I know some of those people were training for it, whatever distance that they were doing. So that was really cool.
That's positive. I mean, they don't want to look bad that day, so they got to kind of work up for it, right?
Absolutely. Hey, Phil, I would like to just take a couple minutes and just do a couple thank yous. And the first one I need to thank because she takes the biggest burden of this race, and that's my wife, Terry. I really appreciate all the support I get from her, and she has to hear a lot about the race almost all year round. So if you see her, tell her thanks. But I'd also like to talk or thank my core group of volunteers, Leif Carlson, Lydia Biba, Sue Kataravic, Suzanne Fish, Shay Schmidt, and Tori Hill. An awesome group of people, and, you know, it's hard to do anything good by yourself, but when you're surrounded with a really core group of strong, motivated people, it makes it a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good crew there. Yep. You surrounded yourself with some good people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Eileen Stevens is here as well, Grace President. Eileen, we talked about you this week during our morning show with the donation for the new equipment at the Richland Hospital Dr. Loomy was in. But that was an exciting thing for the hospital, but also real kudos to Grace, too.
Yes, good morning, Phil. It was an amazing thing. And again, it's you know, and I knew, you know, Dr. Loomy and Andy were going to be coming in. And I mean, that the gastroscope, I believe is what it's called.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That, I mean, we were really honored to be able to do that. And you look how fortunate the greater Richland area is to have such equipment and skill of the doctors that are here. And for Grace to be able to invest in our service area, simply, you know, by providing the financial means for that piece of equipment to be purchased.
We'll have more coming up about Grace in just a moment.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Beef producers have been talking about the incredible prices they're receiving for their animals for a while. But what's happening with our pork producers? I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Well, the latest USDA hogs and pigs report may give us some direction. Bernd Nelson, an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation, says, well, the beef cattle numbers remain tight. We've got more hogs out there than we expected.
We've got cash hogs running around $106 per hundredweight. That's a really solid price for this time of year. And one of the things that's doing this is we're finding some demand. So even though we've got some bearish news in this report that our hog numbers are up, we've also got some really supportive demand coming in. Seeing some increased demand in the pork sector as a substitute for these record high beef prices is kind of interesting.
Bernd Nelson, an economist with the American Farm Bureau Federation, says while he's trying to be positive about this latest USDA hogs and pigs report, said you still have to look at the numbers. Right now, about 390,000 head higher than the last quarterly report. He says that means that right now the number of hogs in the United States is the highest inventory we've seen since June 1st, 2020. Markets are next.
Hey, gut yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
On Friday in Chicago, the barrel cheese gained 2¾ cents to 166.5. 40-pound block cheese was up a penny at 162, while the AA butter gained 2.5 cents to 256¼ per pound. So far on a Monday morning, Dow Jones Industrial Average currently up more than 200 points. July corn unchanged. December new crop down 2.5 right now at 425. Soybeans for July also unchanged, but November new crops up a penny at 1026. The July wheat right now unchanged at 525. The July Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 6 at 1762. August is up 13 at 1846 a hundredweight. Now, the quick reminder that we've just turned the page as far as June dairy activities, and now it's county fair season. If you want to follow along with the county fairs slated all across the state of Wisconsin, jump online, wifairs.com. WIFairs.com, the Wisconsin Fair Association. Links to all fairs are there. That's a look at what's happening in the markets on a Monday. I'm Pam Yonke.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
A mix of clouds and sunshine with an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible this afternoon. Our high today, right around 80. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop to the low 60s. Tomorrow, a whole lot of sunshine with a high right around 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Take a look back at the weekend headlines with Pat Kreitlow, Trigby Olson, and State Senator Kelder Royce on what's happening in the Joint Finance Committee. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Tomorrow on the program, we'll have dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser joining us, as usual, from up in Lincoln County. We'll have Chad Holmes joining us from Wausau, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, Dan Hagen from WJFW, Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander. On Wednesday, we'll have State Representative Angela Stroud from the Superior Area talking about a bill that purported to address the removal of lead water lines in the Superior Area. But she voted against this Republican bill for understandable reasons that she will tell us about. That's coming up on Wednesday. If you can't catch the show live, you can pod this program. You can listen to us anytime on demand. Subscribe to our show as a podcast on Spotify, on Apple, and you can catch back episodes over at civicmedia.us. And a reminder that we now have this new Sunday morning newsletter, Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, all about Wisconsin politics. Head over to our website, upnorthnewswi.com, and be a subscriber. In yesterday's edition that came out, we also have our question of the week, and it's about who will the Republicans run for governor next year? Now, obviously, we still don't know what's going to happen with Governor Tony Evers, if he's going to run for a third term or not. But our question to you is, now that both Tim Michaels and Eric Hovde have said they might be interested in running for governor next year, who do you think the Republican nominee is going to be? Will it be Eric Hovde? Will it be Tim Michaels? Will it be Josh Shuman, the Washington County executive? Josh Shuman, I should say. Will it be another Republican politician like Congressman Tom Tiffany? Or will it be just some other rich guy that wants to come in and try to waltz right into the governor's office through the Republican primary? What's your best guess right now? You get that question of the week at our newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Well, now they're going to be playing this same guessing game in North Carolina after the surprise news that their Republican state senator is not running next year. That announcement came only a day after Senator Tom Tillis stood up to Donald Trump and voted no on a procedural vote dealing with Trump's big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill. But he was a rebel for all of one day before announcing he was not going to be running for re-election. Michael McElroy is the political correspondent for the Cardinal and Pine, the Courier newsroom outlet for North Carolina. And Michael joins us now. McElroy, how are you?
I'm great, Pat. How are you?
Good. It's so nice to have you here. Belated happy birthday. Did not realize that yesterday was your birthday. Quite a bit of news to come down. So we had heard, you know, just from a very vague 30,000 foot overview that the North Carolina Senate race, you know, Tom Tillis was going to be running for re-election, but we kept hearing it was going to be a tough fight because we know North Carolina is a swing state like Wisconsin. But just because we heard it was going to be a tough fight, was it still a surprise that that Tom Tillis said he was not going to run for re-election?
Oh, absolutely. I think it was a big surprise. And one of the reasons is that Tom Tillis, if you're looking at it from that big point, that big picture point of view of who do you want in a tough fight in a increasingly purple state for Republicans, it would have to be someone like Tom Tillis. Because when all the scuttle was about Mark Robinson potentially challenging Tillis in a primary, while it's possible that Mark Robinson was was the far right candidate. While it's certainly possible he could win a primary, he would have no hope of winning a statewide Senate race in North Carolina. And so if Republicans are going to maintain that seat, it's going to have to be someone like Tom Tillis, someone who has a bipartisan approach. But of course, a bipartisan approach is not at all what Republicans want. And it's that bipartisan approach is what got Tom Tillis essentially fired. I mean, he said he wasn't going to run for re-election, but that's because Donald Trump didn't like the way that Tillis voted, and so he said that he would challenge him. So Tillis was almost essentially pushed out, not just resigned.
Right.
I mean, he didn't resign, but said that he wouldn't go for re-election.
Right. And look, when people say, well, why would Tillis do that? Why would he go against Trump on a vote on that budget bill? The thing that we remind people of here consistently is that North Carolina is one of the more recent states where Republicans agreed to expand Medicaid, something that still hasn't been done here in Wisconsin. And, you know, North Carolina is still a swing state. I know not everybody necessarily sees it that way, but Tom Tillis no doubt saw that there might have been an avenue for him, you know, not going to the far right. And now he hasn't. Now he's decided to get out of it. So if you take him out of the equation, does that Senate race, again, without any candidate on either side, what's North Carolina like? Is this indeed a toss-up state, a toss-up race, if you don't put any names on the ballot yet?
Yes, it is 100% a toss-up. And I mean, from being from North Carolina, I happen to believe that North Carolina is the most exciting state politically because of how close it is on some of these things. But I will say this, that Republicans do very well in North Carolina when they can gerrymander the districts. So they have a strong hold on the legislature in most part, because of gerrymandering. So statewide elections, Republicans don't do as great, with the very glaring exception of Donald Trump himself, who has won handedly both times in North Carolina. But governor, attorney general, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, just so many statewide elections, Democrats run the gauntlet, high profile. So the Senate race is going to be a really hard election for a Republican to win if they are only catering to the far right elements of the party.
So let's take a look at who some of those candidates might be. And as I'm looking at the ones for the Republicans, you're right. There's a lot of far right that's listed there potentially. But let's start on the Democratic side. Who may be most likely to run? It sounds like somebody with, I mean, the total statewide name ID, a former governor.
Yeah, well, Roy Cooper is the big one. Now, he has not said, he's been very cagey about what he is going to do. But people have been debating this for almost 2 years, really, because he was term limited. He couldn't run again, but he was a very popular Democratic governor in a public state. He was even popular among Republicans. So he had a much higher approval rating than any Republican liked to admit ever. So he was the perfect Senate candidate, thinking just on paper. Okay, but he hasn't declared. Right now, Wiley Nickel, a former Democratic congressman who was pushed out of his district through gerrymandering. Before gerrymandering, he won in a pretty, almost slightly leaning Republican district. So he's got the scope. He doesn't really have the name recognition, but he's got the chomps to do it. But right now, it's just him. He's declared. But if Roy Cooper declares, and if he wins the primary, I would say the Republicans have no hope to get that Senate seat if they run a far right candidate.
Well, and that's what you might have in terms of, you know, potential Republican candidates. According to Axios, they are listing former Republican National Committee Chair Michael Whatley, former RNC Vice Chair Laura Trump is listed in there. Let's see. There's also Representatives Pat Harrigan, Tim Moore, and Brad Knott. But that apparently Laura Trump has what's called the right of first refusal. She'd have a hard time saying no if asked by her father-in-law, a Trump advisor said to Axios, although they'd be surprised if she wanted to leave the good gig that she has at Fox. how wonderful that you're caught up in the, you know, your state politics is dependent upon whether somebody's ready to leave Fox News or not, said the guy from Sean Duffy's Wisconsin.
Yeah. None of those names are going to be Roy Cooper.
No.
Now the thing is, if Roy Cooper doesn't run, then it becomes super interesting. But I will say, Tim Moore is a big deal. He too, like Tillis, he was a Speaker of the House, and he's a big name in North Carolina politics. But he only won his congressional race because he gerrymandered himself a district, and it was a little bit closer than people thought it would be. Same with Brad Knott. Brad Knott is in Washington because of a gerrymandered seat. So none of those folks have any track record that suggests they can win a statewide race, especially against a candidate that does appeal to both sides.
How fascinating that so much of the Republican power or the lack of Democratic power in certain races is a result either of gerrymandering or term limits. And if those things, you know, weren't in play, you'd have a completely different state of North Carolina politics. We're talking to Michael McElroy, political correspondent for the Cardinal and Pine, part of Courier Newsroom. You can check out what Michael's doing over at cardinalpine.com. For North Carolina to be the swing state that it is, I believe, in part because there is such a distinct rural-urban divide in that state as well as in our state, where at its, to put it very in a very shallow way, it's Madison and Milwaukee against the rest of the state. Now, it's clearly it's much more complex than that. But if you also start from that 30,000-foot view of North Carolina, is there a similar dynamic there with cities versus rural areas?
I don't know. I think that the reason that I have a hard time answering that question is because the line between city and rural is a very short drive. And you're still in the same county. I mean, like, you know, Raleigh is in Wake County, and Raleigh is the beating heart of Wake County, but it's just, you know, a stone's throw until you're in a very rural area of Wake County. And so the overlap of state and city governments and everything. So I would say that I don't know that that divide is as big as we think. And a lot, like, because a lot of the engine of the state government General Assembly, they come from rural areas. And so when they pass a bill that will have a super effect again on rural communities, they hear about it. It doesn't stop them from passing legislation that will hurt rural communities. It hasn't stopped them from standing up to the Medicaid bill, this bill, the Medicaid cuts that will have a devastating effects on rural communities. But I'm not sure that that divide is as big politically.
Well, so we've got that big story then that came up of your U.S. senator deciding not to run for re-election after standing up to Trump. Before that came about, what were some of the other stories that you were following there? I would imagine it starts with impact from, you know, the Republican tax bill.
Yeah, I mean, that's the hugest story, because there is no other political story right now that is going to have as big an impact. Even if the delays that are put into the bill to postpone some of these things ultimately pass. But honestly, until, like, even before Tillis resigned, we were talking about Tom Tillis, because I did a video about Tom Tillis privately warning these Republicans. The same thing he said on the floor the other day about why he was voting against it. He was trying to tell folks, passing out, you know, handouts with the numbers of North Carolina. He said that this bill would be, quote, devastating to my state, end quote. So Tillis was a big topic of conversation. And I still think it was surprising that he resigned, but he had been, or not resigned, I keep saying that he said he wouldn't run for re-election, but that he still, but the issues that he was trying to highlight quietly, we have to say, not publicly, quietly, were the big story.
Well, I guess theoretically this now gives him, you know, the ability to continue using that megaphone to warn people, but it would have been a little bit more courageous had he done so with his name on the ballot. Michael McElroy, political correspondent for the Courier Newsroom outlet in North Carolina, the Cardinal and Pine. Michael, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you so much.
All right. Good to talk to you. And when we come back, well, some of you are going to have a local update next, and others will hear from Jimmy Cuska talking about sports over the weekend, where the Brewers dropped one to the Rockies in extra innings yesterday. And in our 8 o'clock hour, when we're all back together, we'll talk to Jeff Mandel from Law Forward. That's all live from Chippewa Falls here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlaw.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Matt and Air on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlaw on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
We talk about Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination today and this month. The months go by pretty fast, you know, and before we know it, Alan, it's going to be Grace, August 8th, right?
Absolutely. It'll be here very quick, for sure.
We wanted to talk about some other things. Did you have some other stats you wanted to talk about with Race for Grace?
So, Phil, I do have some stats with me, but I'd like to have a little fun with you on it.
Uh-oh.
So, not an official quiz, but we can go maybe higher or lower.
All right.
All right. So, how many women do you, how many people that were female registered for the race?
80.
Okay. Higher.
Oh. 90.
106
106
females.
Wow.
All right, so how many males then do you think registered?
I would say less than that. I'll say about 85.
Real close, 78.
Okay, not bad. I knew what the final number was. So,
yep. How about the age range? Lowest registered participant and oldest. So youngest and oldest.
The youngest was like 8 years old, right?
We had a two-year-old.
Two-year-old registered?
Well, I think their mom or dad probably registered them, right. but they were 2 years old.
And 80 is the top.
We had 86.
86
was our oldest participant, goodness. Which was just amazing.
Yeah, that is.
We had two people from Minnesota. Everyone else was from Wisconsin. But then as far as cities, it was a wide coverage of the state. I was really impressed because I went back to look to see, all right, where were some of these people from, right? So a majority are from the southwest Wisconsin area, and especially around the Richland Center, Richland County area, you know, like Richland Center, Lone Rock, Muscadet, that area. But we had people from central Wisconsin, Wausau, Stevens Point, that area. We had people from Madison. We had some from Sheboygan, from Waukesha, so the eastern part of the state. All over across the Driftless region, including La Crosse and Onalaska. So that was really cool, I thought.
That is cool. Yeah, and I think as the years go by, that's probably going to only get better, right?
Yep, absolutely. So hopefully those people, you know, especially in the outlying areas, tell other people and it just spreads more.
Right, exactly. You know, you wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, cancer survivors and you know,
yes.
some stats
yep.
you have in the area, too.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the reasons GRACE exists, you know, probably the primary reason GRACE exists is to help local cancer patients. And every board meeting, we vote to ratify the previous month's people that applied for assistance from GRACE. And we call that our local cancer patients. And in the month of May, we had, unfortunately, a record of 13 people. We had first-time assistance, 9 people applied. 3 people applied for second-time assistance, and 1 person applied for third-time assistance. We had people from Richland Center, from Spring Green, from Muscadet, Casanova, Lone Rock, and Avoca. So I have such mixed emotions, you know, when we hear about those cases. I'm happy that we're able to help people, but it just shows how much of a need that there still is in the area. So, you know, when you see a Walk with Grace team that's doing a fundraiser, whatever it is, help them out because the need is definitely there. For the first-time participants, for first-time cancer patients that get assistance, we help them up to $2,750. The second-time assistance is up to $2,500. Third time is $1,250. And then we are now doing a fourth time as well for up to $500. So it helps those people a lot. We know it does. We're glad that people apply for assistance because that's why we're here. That's why this organization exists, is to help people out. It's just unfortunate that so many people are still battling cancer.
Yeah, that is unfortunate because I know we mentioned earlier this year that there was a high number 1 month as well. So unfortunately,
yeah, I think that was 10, but now we're up to 13. And
oh boy!
Hopefully, it's trending back down again. But you know, I guess maybe the good news is people are aware that GRACE can help. So you know, when people are battling cancer, we want them to reach out to us.
Yeah, most definitely. And if somebody's listening and they've got a family member or whatever, don't forget about GRACE. Right?
Yes, absolutely. And if you're not sure what to do, go to our website, walkwithgrace.com. Look around there. If you scroll down to the bottom of the first page, there's an information area. You can ask a question there. But you can also go up to our menu bar at the top, and you can find out how we can give people assistance. There's information on what to fill out and what to do. But if you're confused by it, if you have questions, just let us know.
Okay.
So Phil, along with that, we have a local cancer patient director who is looking to go halftime and to phase out of her position for that. So we're looking to recruit a local cancer patient director, someone that could join the GRACE board. And the commitment right now is about around 8 hours per week, or maybe a little bit less, because our existing director is willing to share the load some and help a new person learn and transition into it so they wouldn't be left on their own. We would prefer someone with a medical background, but it's not required. The biggest thing, I think, for this position is you have a big heart and you want to help people. And you're okay with, if you have questions about like what all would be entailed, you can call us at 608-604-8255. You can email us at info@walkwithgrace.com, or you could go to our website, walkwithgrace.com, scroll down to the bottom and send us a note.
Is this the person that reads the bios and things like that, and you know, and deals directly with the cancer patients?
They do deal directly with the cancer patients, and they're the only one that knows who the cancer patient is.
Cool report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media,
this is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Senate reconvening in about a half hour to work on the president's budget bill as a former big-time Donald Trump ally is speaking out against it.
Upping the pressure, billionaire Elon Musk weighing back into the political fray after exiting the administration last month, saying the bill will destroy millions of jobs in America, labeling it utterly insane and destructive.
ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce. North Carolina Republican Senator Tom Tillis, one of only two no GOP votes on a procedural measure ahead of the budget vote, has announced that he will not be seeking re-election. Police say a man armed with a rifle set a wildfire on Sunday and then began shooting at first responders who showed up to put it out. A standoff followed. The gunman found dead nearby. Two firefighters killed. All of it happening on a mountain near Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. NBA free agent Malik Beasley under investigation regarding gambling allegations on league games.